Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The Bible tells believers to walk in the Spirit and then enjoy the love, joy, and peace the Spirit brings. So what does it look like when the Spirit has free rein in our lives? Today we'll find out. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Now we continue a series on the inheritance of the redeemed. Our focus is on the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at the evidences of the Spirit's presence and how to walk in the Spirit.
It says regarding Jesus, and this doesn't happen in any other relationship, whom having not seen, ye love. In human relationships, you can't really love somebody you see. Oh, you say, well, I have compassion. Yeah, but we're talking about love here. So first of all, it involves the love of God. Secondly, I believe that it involves expanded, sacrificial compassion. Expanded, sacrificial compassion. I believe that Christians throughout the world, despite all of our failings, and God knows there sure have been many, have shown that it is Christians who are willing to actually sacrifice for the good of others. You know, you can go around the world and you can find hospitals, mission hospitals, and these hospitals have been built by who? Built by Christians, staffed by Christians. A number of years ago, I read an article from an atheist in England. Wish I had kept the article. I'm sure it's probably online. In which she said she went to a third world country and she said, I'm an atheist, but I have to admit this, that the only people who are willing to really sacrifice and help these people are Christians. You see, if you're not a Christian, you may give money to charitable causes, but it's not really affecting you, especially if you're rich. You know, you give millions of dollars, it makes the news, and that's fine. But it doesn't affect you personally. Christians are willing to sacrifice. If you don't believe me, go throughout the world. Maybe you can go on the internet, though not now, thankfully, right now. Please, no. And you can see whether or not there is such a thing in this world that in a third world country, atheists built a hospital and staffed it. See if you can find that. I don't think you can. It's all Christians. Oh, you say, but I know this Christian. He was so angry and so mean. In fact, you may be rebelling against him because he may be your father. He was so angry, so mean, so judgmental. What's this business of Christians loving? All right, a couple of things. This past week, Rebecca and I were with some pastors, and one of them shared about a wife of a prominent preacher, actually, if I might say that, though he has gone to heaven, who never even had within her the milk of human kindness. And she taught the Bible. So what do you do with that? A couple of things. First of all, despite all that, she may never have believed on Christ. Secondly, though she was mean, you have no idea of how much more mean she would have been if she had not been a Christian. But third, and most importantly, just because you have the Spirit does not mean that you are meeting any of the conditions to allow the Holy Spirit of God to break out of your life. That's why we're going to talk about that in the next few moments. It isn't automatic. There are mean, judgmental, angry Christians, and they make Jesus look bad. May their number decrease. So that's love. What about joy? Oh, the world can have joy. Really? They can have happiness. They can't have joy, though. Can't have joy. That's the fruit of the Spirit, this kind of joy at least. Oh, they can have joy. You win the lottery, you have happiness. Got a lot of friends you didn't know about who are going to be knocking on your door. You don't really have joy. One of the differences you really notice is when you go to a Christian funeral versus non-Christian. I mean, I've been at both. The difference is just so different. There's no joy in a non-Christian context. Well, I should take that back a little bit. Perhaps there have been times I can't help but think of the woman who, weeks after her husband's funeral, said, "You know, I'm having such a hard time settling my husband's estate that sometimes I wish he wouldn't have died." Apparently, actually, that's a lot funnier than many of you perhaps realized. Biblical joy can be had in the midst of struggle, sacrifice, pain, betrayal. I think of Jonathan Edwards, who had many enemies. They ran him out of his church. But his biographer said is this: his happiness in God was beyond the reach of his enemies. There is a joy in God that is beyond circumstances, and that is biblical joy. And there are many people who seek that joy. Many people who are not joyful Christians, and therefore they are not good witnesses to the gospel. Many Christians, if you're talking about a cup full of joy, they are like a half cup trying desperately to spill over. But they can't spill over because their souls are shriveled and they have no joy. Well, now the question is, how do we walk in the Spirit? How do we begin to get the benefits of the Spirit? And you may be here today as a teenager, college student. You need the Holy Spirit because you are a struggling Christian, just like the rest of us. We're all struggling Christians on this side of the grave. First of all, I want you to know this, that the Holy Spirit is not hesitant to fill you, so that you can walk in the Spirit. It's not as if he says, "I don't want to break out of this person's life and transform him into the character of Jesus. I'm just not in the mood." No, my friend, the Holy Spirit is resident that he might be president. That's the whole point of the Spirit. I can say this, that the Trinity, who lives within all believers, is eager to show his fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is, you let the Spirit loose and that's what you get: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Why then all of this deadness? Why this powerlessness? Where is the Spirit? Let me give you a clue, and then we're going to talk specifically about how we can receive the Spirit in his fullness. Now, he exists within us, if you're a believer, but that he can begin to break out of your life into Christ-likeness, which is what he wants. I hope you do too. And that is simply this, that what we must realize is that it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, verse 30, it says this: "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption." The grief of the Spirit. What grieves the Spirit? Well, right in its context, we won't take time to read it, but it's the end of chapter 4. Right in its context, it's talking about anger, gossip, spirit of unforgiveness. That'll quench the Spirit. Spirit isn't going to continue to work. He'll continue to work, but it's not as if he's going to be seen by others, by your friends, by your family, in your workplace. There's no way, because you are so full of anger, you are being controlled by anger, unforgiveness, and all those sins. And I'm not going to list any more sins that grieve the Spirit, because they all grieve the Spirit. So the fact is that what we need to do as believers is, there is a point of confession. I'm going to give you three words. And by the way, I went over it quickly, but do you notice that I emphasized the indwelling of the Spirit, which represents the companionship of Christ, We talked about the sealing of the Spirit that indicates the ownership of Christ. We talked about the baptism of the Spirit, the partnership of Christ. And now we talk about the filling of the Spirit, the discipleship of Christ. You say, well, why didn't you give us those four ships and write them down in our bulletin? There's a good reason. I didn't think of them until this morning. I had a busy week too. So what do we do? The first word, and I'm giving you three words. The first word is confession. Sin grieves the Spirit. You are living in perpetual sin. Grieves the Holy Spirit. He's not going to show himself in your life. People are going to really look hard and say of your life, you know, I'm looking for Jesus in your attitude here, but I'm not finding him anywhere. Confession. Confession means that we get rid of all of the guilt, because you can't have joy as long as you have guilt. It's another reason why the world can't have joy. As long as your conscience is troubling you and there's that low-grade guilt, it means that you thoroughly confess as a Christian and lay it all out for God to forgive you and cleanse you so that your heart is clear, your conscience is clear, and now the Holy Spirit says, now I can begin to do my work. Confession. Related to that, we also have submission. You're writing it down. Submission. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. James chapter 4, I think it is. Dearly beloved, submit yourselves to God. Let me ask you something. Why is it that you and I struggle with submission when we know right well that God knows best? What makes us think that our way is better than God's? That if we submit, it isn't going to be for our benefit? Because it is. It's for his glory and for our benefit. It is pride that keeps us bound, saying my way or the highway. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and you're listening to a message on the Holy Spirit, specifically the gift of the Holy Spirit. And if there's anything that I want you to remember and never forget, it is this. The Holy Spirit of God is not reluctant to fill us, to control us, and to be able to exercise his authority within us. He is not reluctant to do that. He is resident, as I like to emphasize, that he might be president. And so it is oftentimes the reluctance is actually on our side. I hope that you listen next time as we continue this ministry and the message on the Holy Spirit as we think about what we have in Jesus our Lord.
It's clear to others when the Holy Spirit has his way in our lives. They see love, joy, peace, and many other fruits the Spirit brings. Next time on Running to Win, why some believers resist the call to walk in the Spirit. The Inheritance of the Redeemed is an 8-part series we'd like you to have on CD. We'll send it as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.